Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
All right, welcome to episode two of the Side Action Podcast. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You follow me at Wegs Pool. And?
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter as well.
You can also reach out to us via Gmail at sideactionpod@gmail.com.
So how are we doing today, Steve? Rough night last night, or are you feeling good?
Out a little bit late last night. I was actually at the Bears-Chiefs preseason game yesterday.
Nice.
Had a few beers in the sun, so it was a great time.
And then we had the epic bowling tournament over at Jen Hoffman's. That was exciting. A little football bowling experience. Never did that before.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. I'd never heard of it before. Apparently, it's huge in Detroit. It's kind of like a cross between football and bowling.
Bowling. Yeah, bowling. So I was in the championship, came up from the loser's bracket, but we fell short. Just fell short there.
Yeah, odds on were Ridgeway and her partner Kara, but they were not able to pull out the championship last night, unfortunately, and made me some money in the process.
That's right. Well, hey, let's review last week's picks. We had the head-to-head segment last week where we went head-to-head on four different games. So I guess we went 2-2, huh?
Yeah, 2-2. We split the pot last weekend, although there was no pot to be split. You won with the Browns over the Philadelphia Eagles in that 5-0 barn burner on Thursday night.
That was terrible. Although we almost thought Baker Mayfield was going to be the starter for about 5 minutes.
That's right. Tyrod Taylor. Actually, did you know that it was pronounced Tyrod?
Yeah, I saw that on Hard Knocks this week.
I was surprised and shocked to hear that. It was amazing. I've been calling him Tyrod for years.
Yeah, Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor. That's what I know him. Ty God. I thought that's what he was called.
And then you took the second game, too, on Friday night when Seattle went into Minnesota and lost, but still covered the 3.5.
Hey, I was looking good right there, but obviously you came back with a vengeance.
I did. Carolina took New England to the woodshed, and they beat them pretty handily and covered that 2.5 easily. And then the final game of our four was the total in the Tampa versus Detroit game, where it went way over the total.
44.5 seemed like a big number, but they put up 63, so that was rough for me. But that's okay. 2-2. We'll keep tracking that. We'll do that again later in the segment. So today, let's review what we're going to talk about. We're going to start off with a little discussion of fantasy versus sports gambling, and maybe just ways people already bet on games or, you know, incorporate betting into their lives. Then we'll talk about different ways to bet, you know, futures and things like that. Then we'll go into the college football preview, which is really exciting. We've got some big games this weekend. We'll do some head-to-head. And then we'll do some other sports. You know, we'll mix in some soccer again. Action loves the soccer. And we'll go from there. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's a pretty good rundown of what we're going to talk about. Both of us are very excited for the college football season to kick off this Thursday night on August 30.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a huge college fan, but I do love those marquee matchups in the first couple weekends when they do have them. I'm not really into those matchups that are going to be 30-point blowouts. Those don't mean anything to me, but I love when the big teams are playing, and we'll review those later. That's exciting.
Wegs, I got to ask, do you have a college football team, or what's your fandom there?
Yeah, great question. We were talking about this before the pod. So first of all, I went to Colorado State, so I am a Rams fan. I will follow them. They have the new stadium there. They're an exciting team, but they are in the Mountain West, so it's not quite as marquee as the Big Ten. We're in Big Ten country. I always grew up loving Michigan. I actually wanted to play football at Michigan. I love those stupid helmets. but now I'm kind of more of a general fan. I just want to see good football. It's hard to love Michigan with Harbaugh right now because they really kind of pumped themselves up, and they can't deliver. So I'll watch early in the season, and then they lost to some chump team, and it knocks out their chances to the title. So,
are you saying that you don't wake up on Saturday morning, put on khakis, and settle in for 11 a.m. ABC start?
I do put the khakis on. I put them really high with the belt so everybody can see them. Some of them call them dad pants. I've been called dad jeans before, Action, as you know. But no, I don't do that. You know where we are most Saturdays. We're playing football ourselves, and then we roll over and you know, get some pizza at Rinaldi's and drink some beers, watch some college football.
Ah, yes. No khakis on the football field when we're playing, that's for sure.
So how about you? I know you're an Indiana guy.
So I grew up in Indiana. As a young kid, I went to a lot of Indiana University football games. Unfortunately, I would say that's probably my first allegiance as a football fan. Indiana historically has been a very poor Indiana football team. I can say that my father and my brother are probably two of the biggest IU football fans on the earth. They're one of a few, that's for sure.
So are they going to be betting on the their futures championship this year? I mean, Indiana, they could run the table.
Well, they could bet a few dollars on Indiana, or they could just light those dollars up in flames, because that's what would happen if they tried.
But you went to Purdue as well, right? I mean, they're better at football than Indiana.
That's right. So I am kind of an oddball. I did go to Purdue University. We have a little bit better of a football program. In the early 2000s, we even made a Rose Bowl when Breeze was our quarterback.
He was the man. One of the guys I went to high school with and played with, his brother was the tight end on that team, Stratton. He was a great tight end. He, you know, went to our school, York High School, Elmhurst. And yeah, he was their top target over there.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That was the last really good football team we had. Although we were bad one year when I was in college when Kyle Orton led the group.
Yeah, that's right. Orton, he played for the Bears.
So I would say I'm also a Purdue fan. Strangely enough, I cheer for both IU and Purdue. I know it's weird, but I do it.
That's okay. As you know, here in Chicago, it's a huge Big Ten city. Every bar has an allegiance to one of the teams. One of our best, your cousin actually. Mikey, he loves Ohio State. So in part, I actually hate Ohio State because of Mikey, because he thinks they're going to win the title every year, which they're always in the mix. But I'd prefer to root against them than root for them.
Yeah. How about NFL, Wags? Who's your NFL team?
Definitely a Bears fan. Live and breathe. My dad had season tickets when I was a kid. Used to go to games every year. I have a bunch of friends that still have season tickets. They tailgate to most games. Obviously, the last few years, they have been terrible. So I haven't gone to a game in a couple of years. But they're the beloved. Live and die with them. Usually die these days. But, you know, other than that, I'm a big fantasy guy, so I do like a lot of teams. But the Bears are my actual team.
Okay. And as you all know from the last episode, my team in the pros is the Indianapolis Colts. I was thankful to go through a great period of time with Peyton Manning as our quarterback, where we won division title after division title. And even that fateful Super Bowl championship of 2006.
That's right. They almost had another one, but Drew Brees bested them that one other year. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, with Andrew Luck, they were competitive. He's back finally. That arm, hopefully shoulders healed, but we'll see. That's a tough division.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible to watch to see the Jags, the Houston Texans, and even Tennessee is going to be much improved this year.
Yeah, so I think both teams, the Bears, Colts, will probably be better this year than they were last year, but I don't think they're going to be winning any division titles this year, but you never know.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into some more NFL discussion next week, but today we do want to talk a little bit about some different ways that you can gamble on football, specifically the NFL. I know, Wags, that you do a lot of fantasy gaming.
Yeah, you know, for me, my entree in this whole podcast is really fantasy. I mean, I do a ton of fantasy. I do season-long fantasy is what they call it, when you're going to do a draft, and then you're going to pick players. I actually had two yesterday, action. One in the afternoon with my buddies. We're just using the sticker board. And then one in the evening online, where I actually had a predetermined list, thankfully, because I missed the first five rounds. I was foaling, as you know. And then I was able to do it for the last half. And so I do a lot of that. I've also done daily fantasy. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's a little bit closer to gambling in terms of, because it's a weekly game and you can pick individual players that change every week. There's a lot of different types of things out there now. There's the draft app, which everybody's raving about. That's a best ball league where you're picking players and you don't even have to trade or pick them up off waiver wires. And then I also do just kind of low level gambling with the against the spread. I mentioned it last week. My buddies and I have a pool on CBS. We pick every game against the spread every week. It's a season total kind of situation. We put in some jelly beans, as we say, and then at the end of this season, not only do you get the jelly beans, but you get this hideous, very heavy trophy that you have to carry around for the year.
I haven't seen that at your house. Have you ever won?
I have not. I am perennially third out of eight every year.
Did you say that you had two drafts yesterday on the same day?
I did. I was pretty pissed about the second one because I vehemently objected to that date, and that second one started at 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Who does that? I'm trying to have some fun out there, guys. I'm single now. Let's do this.
I think you need to fire your secretary and find a new one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I was happy with the team. That was a PPR team. I think it was a pretty good team. So you do some fantasy too, right?
Yeah. I have a couple of leagues. We do a family league with me and nine of my other male family members.
Okay.
So that's one of my favorite leagues. And then really my favorite league is what we call a dynasty league. Mm. And that differs from most fantasy leagues in that we keep 100% of our players every year. We have roster sizes that are up to 25, mm-hmm. and we are able to drop some of them to make space for free agents. But the draft every year is rookies only, which is a nice preparation for me and my other leagues. I know the rookies before I even get to them.
Yeah, that's smart. Those dynasty leagues are fun. Obviously, you have to have a committed members that people are going to be there every year. But I've heard that there's also keepers, which is kind of in between a standard season long and then the dynasty, where you can just keep two players or three or whatever. Maybe there's a bonus or a penalty for keeping that player. So we started talking about fantasy here because we want to talk a little bit about the differences between gambling and fantasy. So I was thinking just off the cuff, for me, you know, fantasy football is all about the players and their statistics. It has nothing to do, for the most part, with the outcome of the game. Now, granted, you could probably bet on player statistics in a gambling sense, but would you say one of the key differences is gambling, you're going to gamble on the outcome of the game itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Fantasy, you're going to be looking at more individual statistics where you might find target numbers for wide receivers or carries for running backs. But as we talked about last week, and we will move on to talk about more, when you're gambling on games, you're looking at much more higher level macro statistics where you look at yards per play, or you might look at coach speak, how the coach's game plan for a specific opponent, whether or not they're running an up-tempo offense or slower offense. And a lot of those things are different than if you were to do the daily fantasy or even your season-long fantasy league.
I think another difference I was thinking of, Action, and you can confirm this, is that with fantasy, really, there's no odds. There's no balancing of the outcomes. You're going to basically pick a player or a group of players, or even in daily fantasy, you're going to have your group of players against somebody else's. But there's no real hedging or way to level the playing field per se. I mean, in daily fantasy, they do have the salary cap system, so you can't have all the best players. But at the same time, when you make a wager in gambling, there's going to be a point spread. There's going to be an over-under. There's going to be somebody who's done some statistical analysis to get that odds to basically level out the betting on both sides.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of stories about the daily fantasy where you might have some advanced statistical guys who have these really intense algorithms. Mm-hmm. And in some of the larger tournaments where they allow multiple entries, these guys have a significant advantage because they have all of this massive amount of data and they can build multiple teams in order to basically hedge against themselves. And I think 9 times out of 10, as far as I know, you could probably tell me better that those are the guys winning the big money contests.
Yeah, I mean, a few years back, everybody was seeing those commercials, FanDuel, the guys with the big checks and everything. And obviously, when you're going to be able to win $1 million like every week, it's a business, okay? People are going to try to win. There's been a lot of, like you said, there's these think tanks, and they come up with these algorithms to beat the system. One of the ways you can be competitive in that realm is not to do those multi-entry contests because, like you said, there's somebody out there doing 50, 100 lineups. You're doing 4 or 1. And so you can enter into single-entry contests to try to level the playing field a little bit. But again, fantasy is more about players, what their outcomes are in terms of statistics. And you could technically and theoretically pick everybody pick the same lineup in theory in those contests. Whereas in a wagering situation, of course, you could have the same bet as me, but there's going to be somebody on the opposite end of that bet every time. That's how the betting works. Somebody wins, somebody loses, whether it's the house, whether it's you or whoever.
Me personally, I do like the fantasy angle. I've never really gotten into the daily fantasy just because of that, like you said. But I am interested in checking out this new option called the Draft app, where you actually do daily fantasy and you draft much like you would a normal fantasy game. So each of your opponents, as well as you, have different teams, different players. Each player is only owned by one owner.
Yeah, and again, that's a best ball format. So when you do the draft, the computer is basically going to give you your best outcome. Whoever performed the best is your lineup, whereas in regular fantasy, you're basically having to make those decisions on who starts and who doesn't. The activation is kind of the art of the in-season fantasy player. I actually like that part, but at the same time, you know, I can understand the appeal of the draft app, especially in these weekly contests that they're doing. I know they have a lot. They have season-long draft contests as well as the daily ones or weekly.
So. Yeah, and we're trying to line up a guest to come on in future weeks to give us a little bit more detail about this draft app and how he's been successful in making some serious money using it.
Money's good. Money's good. So why don't you tell me about this Westgate Las Vegas Super Contest that you were telling me before the pod. It sounds like something that I may not have the money, but maybe someday maybe I'll get a bonus and try to make some big money.
Yeah, you talked about your pick'em contest that you run with your buddies. I similarly do one with some high school and grade school buddies where we pick 5 games every week against the spread. And we use this handy website called runyourpool.com, which does all of the calculating and interface that you can pick your games. And really, the key is that you try to pick games that you think are going to win against the spread. The numbers are usually set early on in the week, Wednesdays typically. So sometimes by the time the weekend rolls around, you can really find what I like call a stale number. Maybe the line has moved one direction or the other. And you can actually find some value there if you look online, say Saturday, Sunday morning, and the line is vastly different than when it was set or locked in on Wednesday. Similarly, there is a contest in Vegas that's run by the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook called the Super Contest. Hmm. And they've been running this for over a decade now. And currently, the entry fee is $1,500. And similarly, you pick 5 games against the spread every week. Picks are due by 11 or noon on Saturday mornings. And then they're locked in and they get posted online as well. And it's a season-long contest. The top 100 players get prize money payouts. And last year, the winners, I think it was a group of 5 or so, took home a cool $1.3 million.
So those are all NFL against the spread picks?
That's correct. Yeah, only NFL games, and it's only side bets. So there's no totals or first half, anything like that.
Now, do you get to pick any 5 games, or do they determine the 5 games?
Correct. No, there are lines that are set on all 16 games each week. And then you can pick your 5 best plays and you submit those. One key factor is, though, that you have to either be there in person or have a proxy if you don't live in Nevada to make the picks for you.
Well, you know, that's why you're going out to Vegas week one, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about signing up if I can find an extra $1,500.
I'm sure you'll find that in the couch cushion. So, well, that's awesome. Well, let's talk more about some other ways we can bet. And we kind of threw together some information here. Hopefully this will be useful for everybody. So we're talking about futures. So why don't you explain the concept of a futures bet?
Yeah, we mentioned it last week, but another way that you can bet on football, baseball, really any sport, is by looking at the futures markets. And that means exactly what the term futures means, that you're looking at something that's more of a season-long outcome. There are many different ways you can bet it, whether it's Super Bowl champions or AFC or NFC champions. Or even down to the college level, you could pick the BCS national champion, or you might pick somebody to win the Big Ten championship. All kinds of books offer different lines or numbers for the teams to win, and you just have to shop around to find the best number if that's something you're interested in.
So that's kind of the one where you see the Bears are 100 to 1 to win the Super Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I would like to mention when talking about futures is, obviously, it would be really nice to hit that 100-to-1 winner. Or a few years ago, when Leicester City won the English Premier League, they were 5,000-to-1.
Whoa.
Which has never been done before in major sports. Yeah. But obviously, winning that money would be amazing. That's really not the goal, though, when you're picking out futures picks. The way that you can really make money is if you pick a team that has a great season, and as the season goes on, it looks more increasingly likely that that outcome might occur. So like we had talked about last week, if you had money on Wisconsin to win the Big Ten championship and they continue to win games throughout the year, you could have opportunities in week 11, 12, or in the championship itself to lay off or hedge and lock in some profits. So ultimately, as gamblers, the key is to try to make money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want to have fun too, but futures bets allow you to pick a team that might go far and then make money off that later in the season.
Okay, great. That sounds like something to me. For me, I'd like to look at these futures, maybe we talked a little bit about maybe not doing the championship because that's only, it's only one team that's going to do that. But these conference championships seem a little bit more realistic and reasonable. We can go over some numbers later. But we also looked at maybe season win totals, right? They put out the season win totals and how many they think they're expected to win.
Yeah, similar idea there where each team, it's also termed a futures bet. Each team has a line set, which is the number of games that they're expected to win that year. So you might see a season win total for Indiana University to win 4 or 5 games. Mm-hmm. You could see some of the bigger names like Clemson, for example, their season win total this year is 11 games.
That's a lot of wins.
In order to win that bet, Clemson would have to win 11, really 12 games for you to win your money back.
Oh, right, because 11 would be the push, right?
Exactly. Sure. If it falls on the number, then you would push and get your money back.
It's crazy. Other ways we talked about, you could do halftime totals or in-game totals. So, I mean, that's one way to look at it. I know you had one on the – you tweeted that one out. Didn't work out, but yeah. Gave it a shot.
Yeah, Friday night we tweeted our first play, and it was the New York Jets and New York Giants under 21 in the first half. I think they went on to score 24 in the first half between them, so that was a loser.
Yeah, it's a loser, but you gave it a shot. We got to try things. But you know, in-game totals, that's – you're talking about – through three quarters, or is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, some of these offshore books allow you to log in during the game and they'll post live lines. So if you have a game that you're watching and you see that maybe it started out kind of faster than you expected, and the points are pretty high, they might offer a live line where you could go under that total in game. And, you know, that's often termed as in-game wagering or live wagering. There's not as many options to do that when you're in Nevada currently, although there are some books that offer it with the new apps okay. that you can use.
Well, it sounds like another way to hedge if you've already done, like, let's say an under on a total for the whole game, and then you see this game is blowing up and you're not going to win. So you might as well try to hedge it and get the, you know, maybe go over on the halftime total or something like that to make some money back.
Yep. That's a good way to hedge too in those live lines. Another futures bet that we could talk about is the Heisman Trophy winner.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this obviously has less to do with the teams, although typically the Heisman Trophy winner is somebody who's on a good team and has won lots of games. Typically, they're in the college football playoff, mm-hmm. or their team has a successful 11-1, 12-0 regular season. We went through the odds for the Heisman Trophy candidates this year, and there's a couple of names here on the top that we'd like to highlight. Obviously, if you remember last year, the star from the college football national championship game, Toilolo for Alabama.
Yeah, it's Tua Tagovailoa.
So the leading candidate on the odds board here is the national championship darling mm-hmm. at +700. So you could bet $10, and if he wins the Heisman Trophy, you would get 70 back in return.
Right. Number two is Bryce Love. He's the running back out of Stanford, right?
Yep, that's right. He's 8-1.
He's a stud for sure.
And then the player that I like is Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. He ran roughshod over opponents last year, almost totaling 2,000 yards. And his entire offensive line is returning this year. He's 8-1.
Yeah, he might be a lock, at least for the rushing title for the country. So, I mean, I like running backs. I was a running back in high school. Always would love running backs. All this quarterback love kills me, especially in the NFL. But at least college, you do get a lot of running backs that'll win the Heisman.
Yeah, going on from there, you've got Jake Fromm, the quarterback at Georgia. Dwayne Haskins is the new Ohio State quarterback. Khalil Tate. Haskins and Tate are both 16-1.
Okay.
Trace McSorley from Penn State, 16-1. And then Trevor Lawrence, the true freshman quarterback at Clemson, also 16-1.
They've got a lot of young quarterbacks in college these days, huh? I mean, Tua is just a sophomore. You said Lawrence is a freshman, and those are national championship contenders.
I really believe that one of these guys a little bit further down the odds board has a good chance at winning this trophy this year.
So you get pretty good odds. They go all the way down to +5,000, so... we'll see. I mean, Jalen Hurts is still on there. That's crazy. So he's the other quarterback in Alabama, and he's on there too.
Yeah, I've been reading and hearing rumors that he already has plans on transferring after he graduates this December. So,
oh, okay. He'll just kind of sit on the bench this year then.
It sounds like it.
I gotcha.
Another option that you have for wagering that we didn't touch on last week is what we call parlays. And parlays simply means that you are going to take two wagers or two or more games and put them together and bet both of them. So you might bet Alabama to win their week one game against the spread, and you might also take the Purdue Boilermakers to win their game. And if you put those two teams together in what's called a parlay, then you can get much higher odds if both of them come true. If you bet two teams, you get odds of 13-5 typically. And these would be for games that have minus 110 spreads. So the idea is that you multiply the odds of those two outcomes happening together, and then you get paid a much higher rate. Obviously, it goes without saying that it's harder to win multiple games than it is one. So that's why the odds tend to rise pretty steeply if you add teams into your parlays.
Now, for our listeners, do you recommend doing parlays, or is this something just for fun?
No, I don't recommend parlays. In fact, it's a great way to lose money really easily, because although those payouts look astronomical, and if you put four teams together, you can get 10-1 on your money, the odds of you hitting four games outright is very slim.
Yeah, it's kind of like the lottery. We've talked about this before. We're trying to give you information about betting and gambling so you can be a better gambler. And this is one of those things I would put in that category, that parlays probably aren't the best idea, especially for the novice gambler. Good way to lose money.
Yeah. Although there are some angles that you can look at occasionally. I like to look in the NFL Sundays, picking two moneyline underdogs in the early slate. Okay. And then pairing that with a third spread bet in the late games. So if my first two picks come in, then I have a really great opportunity to hedge in the afternoon. I might log back in, and if my first two games have won, I would lay the opposite side in that third game for my initial wager, covering that bet. That way, I'm going to be in the positive either outcome in the third game.
I gotcha. Well, that's smart. I mean, that at least is measured in doing a four-team parlay, and you're sitting there on Monday night waiting for that field goal to go through.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we don't want to hear.
But sitting around and adding a bunch of teams into one parlay is a really quick way to lose your bankroll.
Definitely don't want to do that. So what about teasers? You've got teasers listed here. What are we talking about?
Teasers is another option that you can use to put multiple teams into one bet that you might like. It's a little bit different than a parlay, however, where a parlay would mean that you take games on the spread that's available. So you might have Purdue -3 or Auburn -3, and if you put those together, that's your number.
Okay.
However, when you get a teaser together, you actually get extra points.
Oh.
There are multiple different types of teasers that are offered at different books. Typically, the standard teaser for football is going to be 6 points.
Okay.
So if you put two teams together, you might take Purdue -3 and Auburn -3. If you bet both of them together, you're going to get them +3. So you get an extra 6 points on both of the legs of that teaser. However, similar to the parlay, in order to win your teaser, you have to win both games.
Interesting. That seems complicated.
And obviously, your odds are going to be significantly reduced. So you're not going to get that 13-5 payout. You actually would get the standard -110 on a two-team teaser.
So what's the advantage of doing a teaser then? Just to have more interest in the games? I'm not sure I see the benefit.
Well, the advantage is obviously that you get more points.
Okay, true.
A lot of gamblers would like to pick underdogs at three, in that 3, 3.5, 2.5 range, and they get that 6 points, and it pushes them through the key number of 7.
Okay.
So if you look at two underdogs that you think might be able to cover a 2.5, 3-point spread and or even win outright, you could tease them together and take them through and get them at 8.5 or 9 points,
okay,
which just increases your chance that you would win that bet.
I gotcha. Do you typically do teasers, Action?
Every once in a while, I'll look at Sunday teasers. I like to identify a teaser leg in the 12 noon hour on Sunday and then tie it to a later game or a Monday night game. And then again, if I have that opportunity, I would probably lay off in most cases.
Do the books determine which games can be teased, or is it any game you want to do?
For the most part, you can tease almost any game, but you're right. There are some occasions where the book would limit teasers for a certain game. That's for sure.
Okay, interesting.
You can also tease 3 or 4 teams into a bet, too. Obviously, the odds would change, but you can get 4-team teasers, which are obviously more difficult to hit.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about college football. So, you know, we've got the college football preview here. There have been a couple of games, early games, right? But the big games are coming up this weekend. Labor Day is kind of the kickoff for the real football season for college. And we talked about who we like in terms of our own fandom. But obviously there's some favorites out there that are perennial favorites to win the championship.
There are some season-long odds for national championship contenders that are available at most books. And I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, but if you're looking to bet futures, you definitely want to do some shopping around to make sure that you're finding the best line for that team you want to win. Because you'll see all across the offshore books and in Nevada as well, where different companies will have slightly different numbers on their futures odds.
We all know, if anybody knows anything about college football, you know that Alabama's the perennial winner. They've won, I don't know how many championships now, five or something under Saban. But you know, they're dominant in the SEC every year. Right now, they opened it two. I had 2.5 to 1 in Odd Shark. I saw them somewhere else that they're currently at 19 to 10. So that's under a 2 to 1. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely the odds-on favorite to win the national championship. But number two would be Clemson. Clemson's a great team. They've been there a couple years ago. They won the title. They opened at 6 to 1. Now they're down to 3 to 1. So they're definitely number two on the list. And then you've got Georgia, also in the SEC. They're the third best. They opened at 7.5. Now they're up to 9 to 1.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you've got the couple of Big Ten teams like in our country. You've got Wisconsin in the rankings. They're number four in the rankings, but unfortunately, they're all the way down to 25 to 1, so they're not really there for it. But Ohio State's the fifth ranked in the country, but even with the suspension, we'll talk about that in a minute, they open at 7.5, and now they're 10 to 1. So those are some good teams out there.
Do you find it interesting that Wisconsin is ranked 4 in the national poll, but they're actually the 8th or 9th team in terms of the betting odds?
I think it's crazy. I think this is something that I have to get used to as becoming more of a gambler than becoming a fan. Because actually, to your point, it looks like in this last poll, Wisconsin got one first place vote, meaning one number one ranked vote. Out of the teams, the only other teams that did were Alabama and Clemson. So some people, the writers, whoever did the poll, think Wisconsin's a very good team. But the bettors don't believe in them, and they don't believe them at all at 25 to 1.
Well, I think I believe in them.
Okay.
Wags. Wisconsin plays on the weak half of the Big Ten, and right. I expect them to run through their schedule and run over opponents. 25 to 1, I would take a little shot at them.
It seems like a good bet. I mean, to me, 25 to 1, obviously you're getting great odds. It's ridiculous to me. We talked about this before the pod. 14th ranked team is Michigan, but they're getting odds at 14 to 1 the national championship. I mean, their season expected win total is 9 compared to Wisconsin's 10. To me, that's bad money. I wouldn't do that bet. And to your point, Wisconsin's probably a better team, and they have a better, more favorable schedule.
Even as a Michigan fan, you wouldn't put money on them?
No way. Not again. Until those khakis are off the sideline, then maybe I'll go back there. But we could talk a little bit more about this with Ohio State. But like I said before, I don't like Ohio State, mainly because my buddy Mike and Steve's cousin. But that team is great. They're always great. They are 10 to 1 odds to win. And I don't know. I actually like them. When I look at the numbers, I'm like, I think they could be in the national championship, definitely in the Final Four. And 10 to 1 seems like a good odds.
Yeah, who do you have in the Final Four? Have you given much thought to that?
Yeah, we talked about that beforehand. I've got Alabama, I've got Clemson, I've got Ohio State, and then my dark horse, which when we go head-to-head again, it's going to be a key pick this week. I have Washington out of the Pac-12.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. They're listed at 12-1. One of the things I was checking out before the pod was that they opened at 28-1. They've gone all the way down to 12-1. So if you got that early bet at 28-1, you got to be feeling pretty good about that. The odds are going down. They're the best team in the Pac-12. They're ranked 6th. They have a big game against Auburn this week. So after that game, I think it might be smooth sailing for them.
Yeah, they got to get through Auburn first, but I agree with you. The Pac-12 looks weak this year, and they should be there at the end as long as they can get through Auburn.
What's your Final Four?
So my Final Four is a little similar to yours. I've got Clemson out of the ACC. I don't see them losing at all this year and easily making the Final Four. I've got Georgia from the SEC coming through ahead of Alabama. And then I've got two Big Ten teams, Wegs. I like Wisconsin to get through and make it to that college football playoff, and also the Ohio State Buckeyes.
You are fading Alabama.
I am fading Alabama. Tua is obviously a great quarterback, but I don't think that their special teams is really going to cut the mustard this year. It's going to be an adventure to watch them kick footballs again, like always.
But usually when they score so many touchdowns, it doesn't matter if they get those extra points. But I hear what you're saying. So what you're saying is Georgia's going to take the SEC, which could be a, you know, obviously a conference bet. And you're also looking at Wisconsin and Ohio State. They would have to play for the Big Ten championship, right?
Yeah, my projections show Wisconsin playing Ohio State in the championship. But despite the outcome, both of them will make the college football playoff.
Interesting. And then we haven't even talked about the Big 12. The seventh-ranked team is Oklahoma. They open at 18-1. They're still steady at 16-1. You know, I don't love the Big 12 at all. But if they run the table, they're going to be in the conversation. It's hard to not have them in there.
Yeah, obviously Oklahoma has got to replace the number one pick in the NFL draft, Baker Mayfield, is going to be no easy feat. However, the Big 12 is going to be down a little bit this year as well.
Yeah, their second best team is Texas, down at they're 23rd ranked, 28-1 to win the championship. Don't really feel good about them either. I don't know. I think you're right. I think the Big 12 is not as strong as it could be. And you look at, the SEC dominates most every year. And when we were looking at the Big 12 in terms of the championship, there's at least four teams that are plus 800 or better to win the title. And nobody has they're not minus in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some big conference favorites in a lot of these conferences. The one conference that really has a widespread open air about it is the Big Ten. I mean, you don't see any one of these teams that are actually favored less than even money to win the championship. Ohio State's the favorite at plus 190. Then you can get Wisconsin at 240. There are three other teams from the East that have pretty good odds as well. Michigan's plus 300, Penn State 750, or Michigan State, which has a pretty easy schedule at plus 800.
Yeah, they could be a dark horse. Coach D'Antoni is good. Mark D'Antoni's good, but I don't know. They always seem to fall in the big games. They win a big game early, and then they kind of lose on the back end. And that's the thing. For me as a fan versus gambler, I got to get used to that. I don't trust certain teams. But obviously, we're not just talking about the teams themselves. We're talking about the outcomes and what they can do. In this case, it's odds. Obviously, I would like to win 8-1 if I have Michigan State. That would be a good bet.
Yeah, I may consider a little bite at that too.
And like you said, you like Wisconsin, and they're going off a little bit better than Ohio State. So, we'll see. I mean, it's definitely they got to play it on the field, and it starts this weekend.
Can't wait for the opener this Thursday night, Purdue versus Northwestern.
That's your alma mater. See what's going to happen. So, well, let's talk a little bit. How do we get into this? We jumped in and kind of looked at the odds on, for futures for these teams to kind of determine who we think are going to be good. But what resources do you like to look at, or you're interested in looking at, to get things moving?
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about some of the advanced metrics, the yards per play metrics that you can find in a few resources online. But another one that I am very interested in using this year is called the S&P Plus ratings, which are put out by a man named Bill Connolly on SB Nation.
Okay.
He's got a tool designed to track college football team efficiency. That's offensively and defensively. So essentially what he does is he takes five factors that apply to football games, and he'll rate each team and spit out essentially what is called like a power rating. And the outcome is really, it shows you positive or negative point differential. So you can use that tool to evaluate team A versus team B and try to get an idea of which direction you might want to bet that particular game.
This sounds like KenPom.
A little bit like KenPom. Yeah, you're right. If you're familiar with the NCAA basketball guru, KenPom, this gentleman has a similar tool designed for college football.
I like this a lot. To be honest with you, I like it very much. I'm going to have to check it out because this is the kind of thing that I do for the NFL, at least at the end of the season, for the playoffs. And I try to do some pre-games, which you don't know, or preseason, you don't know what's going to happen. But I like to do that too. You look at key factors, offensive yardage, defensive yardage, turnovers, point differential, things like that. And to me, those plus minuses, those are the things that determine wins when you're talking about football. So I like to come up with my own ranking or rating system, kind of like an index, so to speak. It sounds like Bill Connolly's done that.
And if you put together your own power ratings, I think that's something that can be really useful for you as the season goes on. You can adjust your numbers as you're watching games. You might lower a team after a poor performance, or you see a team really perform well and you make them rated higher. So then you can kind of own in on where you want to bet as the season goes on.
One of the things I'll probably do again, now that you mentioned this, I do this for the NCAA basketball throughout the season with KenPom, is I basically look at the ratings, in this case what Connolly will do, and I'll do it side by side with the top 25. And I usually, what I do with the KenPom ratings for basketball is say, hey, this team shouldn't be in the top 25 according to KenPom, but they are because of their soft schedule, and we'll look at that, especially in college football. If we can do the same with Connolly, we might be able to figure out who we like going down the stretch and who might be good bets and also stronger teams that are being underrated out there.
Yeah, a lot of real pro gamblers don't really consider the rankings, but I think that's a good tool that you can use alongside of your power ratings or your S&P plus ratings as well to make decisions.
Awesome. And then you're talking also about kind of bigger picture things. So we were looking actually specifically at the Big Ten teams before taping here, and we were looking at the schedules that people have. I mean, that's a big influence factor on picking these teams. If they have different games, you know, back-to-back road games. Why don't you talk to me about a sandwich game or a sandwich spot? What do you mean by that?
So as Wegs mentioned earlier, I'm also not a huge college football gambler. I like to kind of sit back and wait early on in the season, not make a ton of plays early on so that I can get an idea of how teams are going to be looking as you move into weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5. One thing that I do like to focus on is looking at individual schedules, because college players are way more susceptible to week over week emotions, and they might get high for a big game, say in week 2, and then they might have a cupcake on the schedule the week after, followed by another big game. So those are what gamblers like to call sandwich spots. And much like a delicious turkey sandwich, you have a game that's between two slices of bread. In this case, the slices are two difficult games. You might have Ohio State and Wisconsin that are 2 weeks apart with a third game in the middle. And typically some teams will not show up as well, or they'll play more poorly in that middle game.
Yeah, I think a good example was last year when Ohio State dropped the game at Iowa. I don't think anybody thought they were going to lose there, but they had beaten Penn State, I think, the week before, and then they dropped the next game to Iowa. They kind of had a letdown game. You got to remember, in college, these are kids. They're 18 to 22 years old, so they have high emotions. They're obviously having fun at college. We all did. And, you know, they're not pros that can give you the consistent performance week after week.
Yeah, the other thing I look at, too, are bye weeks that are built into the schedule. Teams often perform well after byes. Their coaches have more time to prepare. And also spots where they might have lengthy travel. The Big Ten is really a good example nowadays when teams have to travel to the East Coast, whether it's Maryland or Rutgers. That week where they go and then come back, or even 2 weeks of travel in a row, can really create some tired legs as well.
Nice. Well, a lot of times there are injuries out there that people are talking about. We're going to talk about now the suspension with Urban Meyer. How do those impact what we're looking at here in outcomes, both maybe on a week-by-week basis, but also on these futures?
Yeah, you'll see over time as injuries pop up, sometimes the bookmakers will be too quick to adjust the spreads and even the futures wagers too. If a quarterback gets injured, they may adjust a point spread by 4 or 5, even more points sometimes. And I like to look at those situations where they might over-adjust. Sometimes you can see when the team that has the injury or the suspension gets adjusted by 5 or 6 points, it might be too big of a move, and there's value in coming back on the other side.
Yeah, I would say in college, the disparity between the teams from a talent perspective is usually pretty vast. In Alabama, obviously they went to their freshman quarterback in the title game, and the guy lit it up. So the guy on the bench at Alabama is going to be better than probably all the players on their opponent, save maybe, you know, a Georgia or somebody like that. When they're playing these lesser teams, they just have such a big talent advantage, it doesn't matter. So when they see that point differential change, I agree with you. I think you can take full advantage of that.
Yeah, that's a great example. When Tua came in off the bench, I'm sure that there were some Georgia bettors who were cheering, but then he came back to beat them in overtime.
He lit them up. So we were talking about the Urban Meyer suspension. We're not going to get into the details of all of that, but we know that he's been suspended 3 games. I was talking about it beforehand with you that it looks like the futures immediately was impacted. Mm-hmm. You know, they came out of the gates at 7.5 and now they're 10 to 1 to win the championship. I'm sure they were affected on the conference title side too. To me, I think this is an overreaction, like you said. This is a team that's stacked. They have great talent on this team. It's the same coaching staff besides Urban Meyer, and the guy was fired. And they're not going to play great teams in the first 3 weeks. We identified they have one tough game in the third week against TCU at TCU. So if they can get through that game, really they come through unscathed with this Meyer suspension.
Yeah, Ohio State's going to come out and run over Oregon State this weekend. They follow that up with Rutgers and then the TCU game during the Meyer suspension. So I don't expect it'll impact them at all on the field.
And that's why, to me, I still think they're the best bet for the Big Ten championship. They're Ohio State. I hate them, but they win. And Mikey will be happy. So let's jump into our bets for this weekend. You know, we're doing this head-to-head segment. We're calling this the Side Action ATS Head-to-Head. So the first one is, we kind of laid out for this first weekend, it's kind of nice. There's so many games without the NFL now. They're playing out over the whole weekend. So our first game is Thursday. It's your alma mater hosting Northwestern. We're doing the over-under on this bet. The total is 49. Where are you on this one, Action?
Yeah, so the Purdue Boilermakers are favorites in this game. It opened at 3.5, and the total is 49, but it's gone down to 3 points already. Mm. I think one of the major question marks in this game is the health of Northwestern QB Clayton Thorson. Okay. He tore his ACL last year in the bowl game and has been out all spring and into the summertime. However, I was reading reports in the Tribune this week that he's been back at practice, and he looks good running the option. So I expect that he's going to suit up on Thursday night, and the angle I'm looking toward is the over. Last year, Purdue's defense was overachieving, and it really helped Coach Brohm and the guys get to a much better record than expected. But the Purdue Boilermakers are actually 125th out of 130 teams in returning defensive production, and I think that's going to show on the field this year. I like a lot of overs in their games, and this week I'm going to go over 49.
So when we go over that returning production number, you're saying that the starters they lost in the offseason accounted for a massive amount of statistics that were put forth for that good defense. And now since they have new starters in, they lost a massive amount of people, and that's the figure you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly. And that information is found on the same website, the SB Nation site, where you can find those rankings.
Okay, great. Well, I'll take the under. I mean, I'll take it. You know, these are two teams that are not perennial powerhouses in terms of offense. However, we know college football, as we said in the first pod, there's a lot of scoring. But I'm going to see if the under can push. 49 is still a pretty big number.
Yeah, and it's obviously the key number of 49, you know, 7 times 7. Mm-hmm. So anything that might move off that number, whether it's higher or lower, obviously could change things a little bit. But at 49, I'm going over.
All right. Talk us through game two.
The second game we picked is a Saturday afternoon affair between Washington and Auburn. And this one is actually at a neutral site at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The line is currently Auburn -3. However, it looks like on the books it's trending towards 2.5. And the total is another 49 here. Who you got, Wegs?
Well, I've already put my hat in the ring with Washington. I need them to win this game so they can make the Final Four. So I'm taking Washington with the points. Don't feel great about it, honestly. We will hope that Christina Ridgeway, our buddy, is backing this team, so maybe she'll push them to victory.
Okay. Well, I do like the Washington Huskies, too. They've gotten Jake Browning is coming back along with their running back, Miles Gaskin. Mm-hmm. And they rank 22nd in returning production. That's combined offense and defense, which is pretty impressive if you ask me. However, in the history of Chris Peterson, he has not fared too well in these big games. And I expect that will continue. Auburn's got their quarterback, Jared Stidham, back this year. And they're laying 3, looking like it may be 2.5. I think we're going to grade this at 2.5. Is
yes.
that right, Wes?
2.5. That's the number. Yeah.
So I'd love to back the Auburn Tigers here.
They are the SEC, and as much as I hate them, they have very good teams. So you're looking pretty good in the two, but I'm still going for the Huskies.
Okay.
All right, our third game is going to be Sunday. Again, no NFL games to compete, so now we've got a Sunday game. This is also a neutral site game at Jerry's World at Cowboys AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. We've got Miami playing LSU. This is an ACC-SEC matchup. At this point, we've got a 3-point favorites for Miami, and to me, it's a neutral site field, a neutral site game, so personally, I'm taking LSU. I'm still sticking with the SEC. They're strong, maybe not as strong as other years. They did lose their running back, Darius Geis, who went to the NFL, tore his ACL. So they got to replace him. But, I mean, they're always a great defensive team. It's a neutral site game. 3 points seems good for me.
Okay. Well, I really, really like the Miami Hurricanes in this spot. However, it is close to home for LSU. They're playing in Arlington, Texas. But Miami is really looking strong this year, and I think they're going to come out and trounce LSU. LSU lost a lot of talent last year. Their returning production is ranked 122nd out of 130. Miami is not too high up there, only 48. But I think the Hurricanes are really going to come out and run over LSU this weekend.
So are you willing to give me more points? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think we should stick with three on this game.
All right, Action. Good job. All right, what's our last game?
The last game is a Monday nighter on Labor Day Monday at Doak Campbell Stadium. We've got Virginia Tech Hokies versus Florida State. Willie Taggart's taken over the Seminoles program this year, and he's looking to get off to a hot start on Monday. The spread is hovering around Florida State -7. You can find some 7.5s around in the market. I think you and I are going to grade this one on a 7, however. Sure. Mm-hmm. The total opened at 52 and has been bet up to 57. These two teams look like they're going to light it up on Monday night.
Yeah, it should be a high-scoring affair. I do like the Hokies here on the road. I'm a little bit skittish of that, but at the same time, typically they bring the defense a little bit more than Florida State. I don't know how good Florida State's going to be this year. However, they will compete for the ACC championship. Both these teams will. So I'm going to stick with Vatek here with +7.
Okay. All right. So I'll be on Florida State Seminoles. It's funny how it looks like over 2 weeks, I'm the favorite and over better. And you, Wags, are the under and underdog better.
I'm representing the underdogs across America, everybody, because I am America's underdog.
Now, you can follow these picks on Twitter, at Wegg's Pool. We'll be posting them as well as posting them on our Twitter handle, which is Side Action Pod.
That's right. We'll post those, the results. We're doing a running total for the year. Maybe we will have some sort of prize at the end. That would be fun.
Yeah, maybe a steak dinner or something.
Sure, sure. Morton's steak dinner. Sounds great. Steak dinner bet. That's great. All right. Well, let's roll into the last segment here. We're going to go through some other sports. You know, Action loves soccer.
I do have a few EPL picks that I've looked forward to already for Labor Day weekend. One thing that we didn't touch on last week is how to bet soccer.
Okay.
So there are different types. You can bet on what's called the three-way money line, which means that you pick one team or the other or the draw. So if there ends up being a tie and you've picked on one team or the other, you could lose that bet.
Oh, okay.
Other options are goal lines, which are similar to other sports, football and basketball, where you would take a team minus half a goal or minus one goal or even 1.5 or 2.5 sometimes.
Okay.
And those are evaluated on the full game outcome. So in those cases, you have either or where it's evaluated based on the number of goals.
Okay.
The last option that you have is what's called the Asian handicap.
That
is a little bit trickier, where you can split your money between two bets. So you could get a team plus 0.75 goals. And essentially that means that you make a bet and half your money is plus half a goal and half of your money is plus one goal. So if you choose an underdog at 0.75 and they lose by one, you end up only losing half of your bet.
Interesting. So it's almost like an internal hedge.
Exactly. Yeah. So a couple of games I picked out. The first one is next weekend on Saturday, Chelsea host Bournemouth. Both of these teams have been pretty high flying through the beginning of the season. Chelsea is at an expected goals of 1.8 goals per game and goals against at 0.94. Bournemouth have been impressive themselves, winning 2 out of 3, Cardiff and West Ham, and drawing the third against Everton. The goals return hasn't been shabby either. Callum Wilson has been on target twice, and they have an expected goals of 0.84 per game. All this adds up to goals next weekend, and I'm looking at going over the total of 3. If you select this number, 3 will return your stake, and if 4 or more wins you that wager. And the odds of that are minus 129.
Sounds like a good bet.
The next game I'm looking at is Manchester City. I don't know if you know this, Wegs, but they actually drew yesterday against Wolverhampton.
Oh.
We talked about last week. They were massive 357 favorites.
Yeah.
And next weekend, they're even higher favorites. You would have to take them at minus 770 to win the game against Newcastle.
I don't want that.
That's crazy.
So,
however, okay. I do think they're going to come out hot next weekend against Newcastle.
Okay.
The draw this weekend has probably put them into training very mad, and I think they're going to come out and crush Newcastle.
Okay.
The game line on this one is 2.5 goals, though.
Hmm.
Asking them to cover 3 is a lot. So
it
the
is.
Angle I'm going to look at is Manchester City in the first half minus 1 goal.
Okay.
So in this case, if they're up by 1 at halftime, you get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're up by 2 or more at halftime, then you win the bet. And that's your standard odds at minus 110.
Okay, I think that's a smart way to bet that. I mean, I know you you trust this team, so you got to go with that.
Manchester City have the best talent in the league, and they are going to come out and really beat Newcastle next weekend.
All right.
The last game that I've picked out is Burnley playing at home to Manchester United. As we talked about last week, Manchester United has not looked good to start the season,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be fading them again next weekend at Turf Moor. You can get Burnley at plus 0.75 goals on the Asian handicap.
Okay.
So that means half your bet would be on plus half a goal, and the other half is going to be at 1 goal. And that's where I'm looking in this game. You can get that at minus 110.
Now, technically, you could win both bets, though, right?
That's right. Yeah. If Burnley tie the game, or even better, win, then you would win both bets.
Oh, that's great. And what is your typical size of your bet or your units on these bets?
I stick to a standard bet size of $10 is my unit. So in these cases, if I'm playing odds at minus 110, I'm going to be betting $11, which returns 10.
And then with the Asian bet, is it 5 and 5 or is it 10 and 10?
That's a great question. So if I make that $11 bet, it ends up being $5.50 on each.
Okay, great. Good
it just splits your bet in half.
Okay, nice.
And one last game I wanted to touch on is in the MLS. There are no lines out for the next weekend, but one game I'm really looking forward to watching is DC United hosting Atlanta next Sunday. Atlanta are first place in the Eastern Conference behind Joseph Martinez. I don't know if you heard, Wags broke the MLS scoring record this weekend.
Whoa.
He's got 28 goals in 26 games this weekend, which is a ridiculous haul.
What? That's insane.
I expect that they're going to open pretty large favorites on the road in D.C. next weekend based on their outcomes. And D.C. haven't been too shabby themselves. They started out very poor early on in the season, but ever since Wayne Rooney joined the club, they've been on fire.
Of course.
They're 5-0-1 in their last 6 home games, and I like them to keep that going next weekend. I'm looking to grab D.C. United plus some goals, whether it's either half a goal or 1, perhaps even sprinkle a little bit of money on the money line as well.
You think that Martinez love is going to help you in this case?
Oh, yes. The lines for Atlanta have been inflated all year long. And although they have a very good record, DC United has been playing hot lately.
All right. That sounds like 4 great picks. All right. Well, that will do it for episode 2 of the Side Action Podcast. We've covered a lot of information here, Action. Hopefully, we've gave the listeners some good information they can use this weekend on the bets for college or the futures for college or even the NFL. And just want to remind everybody, follow us on Twitter at Side Action Pod. You can follow me at Wegspool.
Steve Roberts here signing off. Thank you, Wegs. We're really looking forward to college football season starting this week and also winning some soccer bets. You can follow me at 31 S Roberts. And don't forget, you can reach out to us at Gmail at sideactionpod@gmail.com.
Until next week, sir.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.